There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. We are actually currently in Cancun, Mexico at a leadership summit, hanging out with some of the top franchise performers and also hanging out with real property management president, Jeff Pepperny. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah. So I'm excited for Jeff to share with our listeners his knowledge on franchising. But first, I want to kind of get into a proper introduction of Jeff. So Jeff was named president of Real Property Management, the largest single family property management organization in North America, in September of 2019. Jeff is a certified franchise executive through the International Franchise Association with more than 20 years in executive leadership role in franchise and consumer services. Jeff's career in franchising began as a director of operations with Sears Garage Solutions when he quickly promoted to vice president of operation and then president of Sears Home and Business Franchises, where he led five franchises, brand supporting franchise and growing their businesses and achieving success. So Jeff, why don't you start by telling us a little more about yourself, how you got into franchising?
Perfect. Well, again, thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here. And special plug to you guys as top performers and being part of Neighborly and Real Property Management.
Absolutely.
Excited to have you guys here. A little bit about my background and journey. I think about where I was as a younger, going to college and thinking about what's the next step, right? I had these aspirations of I was going to be a stockbroker. I was going to make billions of dollars, right? Take over the world. And then as time got to it, I started early in financial services in Chicago with Deutsche Bank. Spent a number of years more on the sales side. Loved that time and then transitioned still in financial services into operations, specifically into banking operations. So had the chance both on the front side in terms of sales, the back side in terms of business development and operations. And then I met who's been a mentor for me for 25 years, a gentleman named Will Powell, and he hired me to come on and be both a sales development and an analyst. And so as I matured in my career, started to think about my why, right? So first, again, going to make billions of dollars, but that I think that transitions with, transitions into where do I want to be, and attaching into having the right mentor, I think provides some of that clarity.
Absolutely.
So, and that brought me to Sears Holding Corporation, that brought me into franchising, and that brought me, I think, fulfilling my why of being able to work day in and day out with entrepreneurs that are looking to go into business for themselves, but not by themselves.
Right.
What did you think when you did you start your family around? I'm just curious, around the same time, is that, did that change that dynamic of not maybe chasing money as much as maybe fulfilling a purpose, or no?
No, it was in the middle of that. So pre-family, I was on that chase, right? And then starting the family, I was on that chase. But I think family helps do some clarification.
Yeah.
I think, meeting people and realizing who we are and what opportunities. And I think some of that comes to competencies and skill sets and what you're good at as you grow and observe and get the right feedback.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, one key takeaway that I got from that is we talk about mentorship a lot on this show, right? And I mean, Sean and I, when we start off with a mentor. So key to success is finding that mentor, right? To guide you through your career.
Absolutely. I always tell people it's important in terms of who you're going to hit your wagon to. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and both in terms of, and I've worked for people that I've learned a lot of things on what not to do. And I think there's some importance there too. Right. But also you really look in terms of, I want to be like that person for these specific reasons. Right. And I think in that that starts to come into values, mm-hmm. right? And I think then values start to breed into culture. And then it's how do you, as you grow and develop, and you guys see this, how can you become that mentor? Like, how can you cast a wider net and yes. help people pull through like people have helped you pull yeah. through?
That's awesome. That's so let's get into a little bit about franchising. I kind of just say that nobody understands anything about franchising. Can you start basic? Just what is it, the concept, and maybe just what drew you to the franchising model?
Absolutely. So I used that phrase before. Franchising is about being in business for yourself, but not by yourself, mm-hmm. right? And so here's a fun stat. Franchising represents 3% of the U.S. GDP. 3% sounds small. Mm-hmm. U.S. GDP is $215 billion, right? So it winds up being $64 billion right. is feeding wow. into this, right? And which drives the economy. Mm-hmm. Franchising to me, and I think for all the people that have come before me, almost went back to the days of McDonald's, mm-hmm. right? And so it's the ability to take a concept, a business model, and then scale mm-hmm. it, right? So from a franchising perspective, it's as the franchisor, it's finding people, either individually through partnerships, that have the same values, mm-hmm. that are looking to you for the expertise of how do I get from 0 to 100 right. as fast as I can with proven tools, proven systems, proven success, mm-hmm. right? Because there are others that are in the franchising system. So when I got into franchising, to me, that was powerful, mm-hmm. right? Being able to take a concept, because we're all as business leaders thinking about how can we scale yeah. X, right? Whatever that X is.
Totally
and
great.
For me, yeah. I saw the benefits of franchising and also the benefits of taking unique people who have an aspiration mm-hmm. of owning something, but want to go with help.
Right.
And so being able to fulfill their why helps me fulfill my why.
Yeah. That's awesome. So kind of looking back when we started, you know, our franchise, we had an investment company and spent all of our time and energy focusing on that and creating systems for that. And we're like, we don't want to create the systems, you know, for the property management is one of the biggest reasons why we entered, right?
Yeah. So it's just looking, we found an opportunity. We didn't want to recreate the wheel. Mm-hmm. So we use to us. A franchise was the wheels already built and like we just need to plug into it and take advantage of the systems and processes and marketing and you know it should be the franchise has learned already in the past what to do and what
yes.
to, you know they learned from the past mistakes they learned what works and so I had a couple questions though when you brought all that up so do you feel and this is for me as an entrepreneur do you feel like entrepreneurs are born or are they, because I think you can really see, I'm curious about your perspective because you're in a franchising model. So I think there's entrepreneurs that are out there that go create a brand new concept, right? They don't, something from scratch, maybe they saw the need and they went and fulfilled it. Franchising is really you're buying somebody else's concept already and buying into it. And yes, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Mm-hmm. But you're there's some creativity still involved in it and you have the opportunity to create, but for the most part, you're buying a system that's already been created and just plugging in and running with it. So I'm curious your perspective on are entrepreneurs born or created?
I think entrepreneurs are born, right? I think time makes activation, right? And it becomes where you have supercharged entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. right? And then entrepreneurs that are working more in a corporate environment, mm-hmm. right? Just want to be able to put their two pieces into an existing system. But I think over time and what we see in franchising at Real Property Management and Neighborly and all the concepts is that people come to us because they have the entrepreneur spirit, mm-hmm. but they come to us wanting the pathway to be able to get to that activation,
right?
That and yeah. use that word activation. There are some that don't go there because mm-hmm. it's been activated early on and they've just ran on their own and sprinted on their own, succeeded, failed. And there's a large portion that comes in and says is, I want that proven system. I want that proven model. I want that network of other people that have come before me that are doing this, that I could connect into. and it becomes a really good partnership where you're still an entrepreneur, but you're inside of a business model that you use your entrepreneur techniques to help drive and scale it.
That's great.
Do you feel it's for everybody? Like, can do you feel like they have to have the right some kind of either? I laugh because sometimes I think entrepreneurs sometimes are crazy, a little like, you know, not all there, but they have to be, because I think an entrepreneur takes like an entrepreneur, you just take abuse after abuse and keep getting up and like wanting it more the next day. So I think they're a little, or at least that's for us, but so I'm just curious, like, but I don't know if everybody can endure that, you know, and that kind of, that grit and stuff. So I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I believe it comes down to our fabric, right? Like who we are and what we want and our why. I keep going back to our why, right? In terms of when we bring in prospective franchise owners, that's the first question. Like, why real property management? Why now, right? Because we want to make sure that it's matched up correctly. Mm-hmm. Because there are systems and processes and procedures and tools that you're going to use that you need to operate in the guardrails in, right? And you have to be comfortable, willing to do that. And some people are saying is, you know what, that's great. I know it's proven. I know you're successful, but I want to go at it and go alone. And so it's better, I think, to early identify that than it is to get down a path and realize this isn't for me. So a lot of vetting, a lot of validation. But really just understanding the purpose of the why for our future franchise owners. And then I'm understanding our why about who we are and what we do.
Right.
I think the why is crucial because your why has got to be big enough to overcome the hurdles that you're going to
have. Yes. Mm-hmm. To your point, some of the pains and the sufferings and the challenges and the craziness that you endure daily or weekly or monthly, right? But looking at that, to me, that looks very narrow and it hurts right in the moment,
right?
But it's really looking at it from a long-term perspective of this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so matter the challenges that come, the failures that I run into, or the successes that I have, it gets me to fulfill my life.
Yeah, that's great. So what advice would you give, you know, somebody that's coming in that is maybe interested in a franchise and learning more about it? What advice would you give to somebody new?
Yeah, I would, my advice is I would research, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's a commitment. It's a commitment both for a franchise owner coming in and the franchisor. Yeah. Usually it's a 10-year commitment in terms of the franchise agreement. And we want it to be a healthy partnership, mm-hmm. right? To me, in franchising, it is mutual success, right? Franchisor and franchisee success are mutually dependent on one another.
Yeah.
And so I think researching, and that's through understanding the business model, understanding going out and talking to franchise owners in our system, mm-hmm. like you guys do right. validation. I always encourage, like I will not talk to a future franchise owner until they've done validation mm-hmm. calls. And we say the book is open. Ask them, sky is the limit, right? Help you get every possible data point that you're looking for to make the best informed decision, right? And then go through the journey with us. And if it's the right fit for you and it's the right fit for us, then it's perfect. Right. If it's not, keep going through your mm-hmm. journey, right? Don't give up. There may be something else that you're interested in.
That's a good point.
Just explain some of the pros of franchising and maybe some of the cons.
Yep. And you go back to data, right? So if you look at franchising versus independent, right? Statistically proven, there's an 8% more success rate in the first 2 years in franchising, mm-hmm. right? So come in that, because you always think about, you guys know this, right? Coming in as small business owners is you want to have abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset, right. But there's also reality in both of those. Yeah. It's like, well, what if I fail? In franchising, because it's a proven tools, proven systems, proven product, a proven network, mm-hmm. right? Doesn't mean that there's going to be a failure rate, but it's much less than it is going independent, right? So I think that's an important component. I think another important component is the business model mm-hmm. that you're interested in. It has to be something you have a passion to.
Absolutely.
Right? Like it can't be like, mm-hmm. hey, the math looks great. I can make, you know, X, Y, and Z top line, bottom line, but I don't like to deal with customers. All right. Well, maybe it's not that business model. So understanding what you enjoy, what you like,
I think that's important. Sure.
Making sure that it's the right culture mm-hmm. fit. We spend a lot of time talking mm-hmm. about culture within our franchising system, right? Like making sure that's the right value set that mm-hmm. you have. So the business model, the culture, the values, the people. I think the other component is looking at size and scale, right? Just a, I think, simple plug for us, and you guys are many franchise owners to help us get us there. We're number one in the property mm-hmm. management category, right?
Absolutely.
We have 365 locations. We've been in business 36 years. Mm-hmm. To me, that's important.
Yeah.
Like, we guard that very closely because that's part of our brand. Mm-hmm. And our brand is what helps us drive our individual locations and then collectively as a network. So, long way to say, researching is, to me, is critical. Getting every data point that you can find and making sure that it fits in what you're passionate for.
Yeah. Wow, that's
awesome. Is there, in your opinion, is there any ceilings or is there any, so what would be some downsides to franchising versus going out as, and starting your own? You, and you beat the odds and you had a successful business. Is there limitations then or in a franchise model versus independent?
I, again, you're talking to a lifelong franchisor, right? So I don't believe there's limitations in franchising, right? Because, and if I think about our business, Real Property Management, you can scale, mm-hmm. right? In Houston, you can grow to a second market, right? So you're in essence taking that proven model that you did and quickly scaling it again, right? So, but not having the background of coming into a franchise with the proven tools and the mm-hmm. systems, the brand name, could you have scaled to that point, Houston, then be able to have done that in Albuquerque? Mm-hmm. I think the other component is in the Neighborly brand family, we've got 17 service verticals, right? So if you look at scaling outside of that, or if you say is hey, I want to get to X by Y period of time mm-hmm. and I got there and I'm comfortable, then you've achieved what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. I think the last thing too is the network that a franchising system has.
That's key. Yeah.
Gives you that ability, mm-hmm. right? So you are tapped into the best of the best mm-hmm. in the property management category, not just in Houston, but it could be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It could be in Portland, Oregon. It could be in San Francisco. So the network that you're into now has you getting into peers that are helping you grow and challenging you, and you're helping them drive through successes.
Do you have the statistics? I'm just curious about that with the franchising versus traditional. I know the traditional model really, really high. Do you have those numbers off the top of your head?
Well, the numbers that I have are for success rate. So that since 2019, there was a study done.
Yeah.
It's an 8% greater success franchising in the first 2 years than going at it alone.
So I get asked this a lot. I'm just curious your opinion on it as well. Because real estate right now is, again, it's one of those times. Real estate's very, many businesses is cycles, but I think real estate, we're sexy right now because everybody wants to get into real estate. And so, like, especially in being in a room like this that we're here this weekend, there's other brands and they see Real Property Management and all that, and they see real estate. And do you feel like, I'm just wondering, like, is it better to stick within one concept, or is it better and grow that concept wider and because you already know the system, the process, rather than, you know, changing? And Joni and I, yes, we're an example. We went into another brand as well with Rooter, but I'm just curious if it's better to go wider within one brand or differentiate yourself. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'll
it's a complicated question.
I'll answer it,
right? Like, people hate this because I end up asking like three or four questions within one time. It's like
no, but kind of break that down, right? Because I think timing matters, mm-hmm. right? And then when I talk to franchise owners, and you know, they're like, look, I want to open up a second location, right, with Real Property mm-hmm. Management. So where's the next dollar spent best? And that's the question that I pose back. Like, is it in your existing market to continue to grow that and scale that? Is it to expand, or is it to get into a different category? I think timing's important, mm-hmm. right? Like, rewind you guys back 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, it took you a point to build it, to scale it, to get success.
Right.
And then say, all right, we're ready to expand. We're ready to get into a different category. To me, time is important. Like, you can't sprint before you crawl, before you walk, before you run. Yeah. Right. So, but if you could achieve those things, I go back and I push to is, what's it fulfilling? Right. Like, I want to expand into a second market because of, why is that?
Yeah. I was going to say, you go back to your why.
Yep.
And also passion. I mean, we're serial entrepreneurs. So we're not the norm. But yeah, I think you also go back to your passion. If you're not passionate about it, then you might want to think twice about doing it.
Yep.
Right.
And it may be, look, you're looking for a unique new challenge.
Yeah.
Right. Or somebody else is looking for something different. So again, you got to, like you said, Joni, perfectly, is you got to attach passion to it. Like, you got to be passionately wanting to, and then what defines success?
Yeah.
Right. Is the success is I'm going to be able to grow and scale this to X by Y period of time. Then you've got goals and you've got targets, and that's what drives you every day.
Another question I had with that was, because it was hard, I think, for us to spread into another city and manage. It was something we didn't know what we didn't know. And that seems to happen to us a lot.
We just died.
We learned the hard way. But managing from afar, managing, and putting the right people in place, in the franchising model, I know that seems off. People do that often, or they expand in maybe a town next door to them, or like we expanded in a state next to us. So I guess, is that, what's your opinion on, should they stay closer? Do they, and sometimes it just happens where there's opportunity, where, and some, there's other characteristics, but if you were to give advice, would it be, and they were looking to expand and you thought they were at a good place and they had they'd maybe max out their local area or bigger presence, but they wanted to grow even more and had the ambition. Should they look in another state? Should they look close? Is there any advice? Because you've seen a bunch of concepts. So.
Yeah. And I've seen successes and failures in all of the above, right? So, and Sean, you hit it perfect. To me, it comes back to the people, right? I mean, the having the right people on your team, whether it's at home or whether it's in a satellite market. And so thinking about early on is investing the time, energy, and effort to find that right person. And so I think if that happens, it's proven out to be more successful, right? Versus is I just open it up and I don't have anybody running there, but it was a great idea and I love that market. But now what do I do? Well, I got to get in the car and drive 8 hours. I got to get on a plane. So I think putting together a pretty broad plan on here's what my goals are. What do I need, right, in terms of human capital, regular capital, right, in order to achieve that, and start with the people, because the people are going to get you what as far as you want to go.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Is having the right people in the seats.
Do you believe in partnerships in that sense, or do you got any data? Just curious, just because you've seen so many different business makeups, I guess, as far as people buying into the different franchise systems, partnerships, or like, say they want to expand, is it smart to expand with maybe a partner there that has an ownership in it, so they maybe take it? I don't know. We're not huge fans of partnerships. We have one company right now that has partnerships, but we've just never been a fan of it. So I'm just curious what you think, because they're just like husband and wife, there's bad divorces within partnerships.
Yep.
And we've seen ugly ones. And so I just curious.
Yep. Similar to multi markets, right? Partnerships. I have witnessed firsthand great success, and I've witnessed firsthand great failure, right? I think it starts with, is a partnership the right thing? I think it starts at the individual level, right? So you guys would look at that and say, is what does success look like in a partnership? What are we willing to push and pull against, right? What will we not bargain against, right? And then if it's that all flushes out and says is partnership's not good for us, right? But take a different couple. They may evaluate that and say is look, we love it because of A, B, C, and D. And they go off and do it. But I've seen, we have partnerships in our organization right now that are killing it, mm-hmm. right? Our franchisees yeah. of the year yes. last year. Yeah,
they're one of the best ones.
Brett Morris, Ryan Kaufman. Right. I mean, yeah. they're a partnership yeah. for a dozen years mm-hmm. and they are growing and scaling. They've got the right culture. Their values match up. Like it was a perfect match together
right.
for
yeah.
them.
Right. Yeah, I see that. And they're probably one of the best examples I've seen.
Right.
Yeah. And they seem to just, and it's weird, these different personalities, and then their values are just so mm-hmm. aligned that they,
you have to be aligned.
Yeah.
So going back to, you know, if you were looking in a different market, I agree with you on finding the right people. But one thing I want to touch on is the following the systems and processes as well, right? Because I feel like a lot of times, if they do branch out into different markets, they may be doing something different in their current market and something different in another market, right? And that's what fails. So I think what helps in the franchise model is if you have the same processes and procedure and you're following the same thing.
Well said. Well said, right? And sometimes, use the word earlier before, like sexy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's not sexy, but it is. Like it's proven. Yeah. Like so,
like McDonald's.
Follow the system. Mm-hmm. Follow the processes. Follow the model. Right, and success then is the outcome.
Right.
I think it's cool for you to be in the industry you're in because I think and within Neighborly and all because it's. I think it really is an industry, the service industry, and the. When it relates to homes and all, it hasn't been sexy for so long, but like it really is coming back. And just COVID, like I think, just radically right. changed that to where people are seeing that it's really needed. So you know, this industry,
yes,
property management, but also plumbers and electricians and everything else that Neighborly has within it. So it's fun to see, and I think it's going to be a good ride for mm-hmm. us for the next mm-hmm. 10 years or so. So
20 years.
Yeah,
20 years, there you go. 20 years. I'm curious, would you recommend, because your children are about that age, so that's a good question for you. Would you recommend them to become entrepreneurs or get into the franchising model? Would you?
Yes and yes. So we take work home with us, right? Yeah. So I think my boys are, they know what I do, right? Sometimes they're like, all right, Dad, like we get that part of it. But I would highly recommend it, right? And I see within our own franchise system, we talk a lot about exit planning, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are like, well, you're talking about exit. We should be talking always about a succession plan, right? Because at some point, our franchise owners are going to be ready, and that could be a wonderful legacy. And so I think about my boys, I'd love for them to get into franchising. Like I've seen what it's been able to do for my family, but also all the families that I have come across and had the pleasure of being with in franchising. So I've seen the benefits of it. And I also think about, you know, their opportunity potentially being a legacy within their family. So I'd encourage it, kind of help guide and consult into that. Probably similar to as your kids get a little bit older, right? You guys are going to start having those conversations. But I think it's good they understand what franchising is. I think the category, like you talked about, our category that we're in, I mean, it's powerful in what we do and who we're helping. And so I think that's important, both from a standpoint of what we're able to do to help others and also what it's afforded our franchise owners, myself, to be able to give back to our community, right? So I think about like the how wide that is and the impact it has.
That's great. One question we always ask is, are there any current books you're reading that you would recommend to our listeners?
Yes, I'm into two of them, right? So I'm reading Traction now for the second time, right? So
yes, that's great.
That's always a good one. There's a lot of content, mm-hmm. as you guys know. So I'm doing a refresher one, and the second book I'm reading is Crucial Conversations, and so that's always an important one
absolutely
lots of people that we deal with.
Is it along the lines of like having
difficult conversation,
or uncomfortable mm-hmm. conversations?
All of the above.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's finding the right things. And part of the book teaches too. And one of the things I oftentimes when people meet me, they talk about early on communication. I think the power of communication is listening, mm-hmm. right? So at Neighborly, as you guys know, we have a set of values. One of my favorite values is listening with the intent to understand what is being said and acknowledging what it says important to the speaker. So my communication style first and foremost is always listening and then communicating. And part of that, well, and that's not how it always used to be, right? So part of that was growth and development and mentorship. But Crucial Conversations comes in and talks a lot about effective communication, listening. There are crucial times and critical components, and then just be honest. Right. Just be honest. Just go direct with it. Yeah. And it can be humbling.
And you're really good at listening. That was the very first thing that I noticed about you was, you know, you really listen, you know, before communicating. And I love that about you, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I think it's refreshing to the brand as well, because I think you stepped in at probably a very difficult time with the transition to Neighborly and all, everything was going on. And but you listened to the franchisees, and I think they needed somebody to come in that would just listen and hear them out. So I'm sure it wasn't easy, but but I had a mentor that told me, and a good friend, David Phelps, but the two things he recommended to Joni and I was get comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations. And then he recommended us to do a improv class. And that was really one of the best experiences I've ever
had. It was fun.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Yeah. So anyways, well, it was totally tangent. But I have a couple more questions. But the one I want was I think I asked you this at dinner. And so I'm sure you got a good answer for me now. What's it like running a business where it's not like you just have employees underneath you? I mean, you have employees underneath you, but you also mix up a bunch of individual business owners, you know, A-type.
I was going to say, how do you handle all these A-type personalities?
So it's got to be, you know, because like when you're at the top of a company, I mean, you're the boss, and but your employees all, but you have some of those, but you also have all these franchises with people that want to be the boss. I'm just curious. That dynamic, what's it like being in your shoes?
Exciting. It's exciting. I think it's all perspective, right? So I think part of it is I've been in business for quite some time and understand what's important. And I think go back to that listening piece. I think part of what's important is listening to people. Some of the best things that we do today as a brand are because we took the time to listen and get the feedback and then work together, right? So one of the charges, and it sometimes, you know, coming into an organization, I did a 90-day just listening tour. That's what I called it, right? And that was both internally to find out what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. And then within our franchising group, what's working, not working, just ask those pointed conversations, take all that, aggregate it out and say, is thematically, and we're really good at X. Mm-hmm. We're really poor at Y, right? Put that back and say, is this is what I heard, get the validation, and then work together, right? I mean, you're part of our franchise advisory council. Mm-hmm. We have a host of committees that are our franchise owners. So for me, it was taking the franchisor in our home office, our franchisees, and bringing them closer together, coming all the way back to where we started, which is mutual success, right? So it can't be we're over here, and you're over there, right?
That doesn't work.
And then it's understanding and spending time with people and understand their personality styles. Like, do people really like to get into data? Do people really like to get into the personal side? Do people like to get into, like, got 10 minutes, right? So I think it's understanding that, but long way to say it's exciting. I think the other part of what's exciting is it's a distributed model, right? So we're across the US and Canada in every state but one.
How many offices did you say?
368. Right? About 260 unique franchise owners, right? You guys would be unique, have multiple territories. But the other component there, it's exciting too, because we have at Real Property Management an amazing support team across all of our channels, right? So it starts with our business coaches that are the point people. Mm-hmm. And really making sure, coming back earlier, we talked about is finding the right people,
right?
And it's making sure that we have the right people that are interested in and attached to our values, want to have a servant style leadership approach, right? Because their passion is a success of franchise owners. So doesn't mean that sometimes we have those unique conversations, hence the book, Crucial Conversations, right? But it's okay, right? Because at the end of the day, it's our franchise owners. There's a reason why they may be spirited about a certain subject, yeah. and it's all for success.
Yeah.
And so really, I think understanding people individually, even though there's a lot,
yeah.
kind of breaking that down and work it together, for me has been, I think, what this brand has needed a lot,
yeah.
is coming side by side with our franchise owners in the advisory council, in committees, in participation, and then just communicate as much as we possibly can together.
How do you not scream? Or you say very, very calm, very just level-headed. So I'm curious in that, because there's times I just being in some of these groups, I want to like yell or rip my hair out inside of sitting in your shoes. Yeah, how do you? What do you do? Is it awareness? Or is it just your nature? How do you not lose your mind?
Lose my mind. I don't know that if you lost your mind, it's just for a brief moment.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's just really trying to control the emotions of it. I mean, it is emotional, try to control emotions, yeah. and realize, you know, again, another plug for our code of values, but it's acknowledging everyone is right from their own perspective. Mm-hmm. Right. So really looking at that and saying is, I'm not here to defend. I'm here to listen, understand, mm-hmm. right. and realize, and you guys have it mm-hmm. all day long with owners and tenants. Right. right. So there's some pain points there to realize, like, what are you really trying to convey to me? Okay, I get it. It's not personal.
Yeah.
It really just becomes a very business unique issue. Mm-hmm. How do we solve that so we all feel better and we get something better from where we were?
Cool. Well, last question, and we always ask our guests, what's Jeff's next? Is it taking over the world? I mean, we're already taking over the world in property management, having 360 offices, but what is it?
I think it's three things. I think it's, I look at this brand, it's to continue to transform the brand to wealth management, mm-hmm. right? So we talk about, we're in property management, which we are. I think, and you guys are in a testament to this, we're in the business of creating wealth.
Right.
The vehicle that we do is through property management. And so it's really the transformation of the organization to be the best, the premier property mm-hmm. management company. But really start looking at it differently on applications and systems and right. data and people that help us better speak to intentional investors. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Two is really deepening our offering within Neighbourly, mm-hmm. right? So as our parent company continues to grow and expand right. and bring on other organizations, is how do we add value to Neighbourly? Mm-hmm. And then how do we extract value out of Neighbourly? That's second. And then the last thing is what's next is continued growth and success for our franchise mm-hmm. owners, right? So to me, at the end of the day, success at Real Property Management on the corporate side is the success of our franchise right. owners. And so are the strategies, our objectives, our tactics, our daily behaviors, mm-hmm. is it fulfilling that in realizing our franchise owner's success?
Right.
I think if you put those three things together, it continues to see the company mm-hmm. grow and grow and grow and grow.
Awesome. Well, that was great, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us today. Any last minute advice?
Just how can, say if somebody's interested in real property management or has questions for you, is there a way that they can get a hold of you or connect with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can visit our website at realpropertymgt.com. They could reach out to me personally at jeff.pepperney@nbly.com, or they could connect with you. That could connect with me.
Yes.
Love to be able to talk to the serial entrepreneurs. Yes. I'd love to be able to talk to people that are thinking about business ownership, right?
Yeah.
And thank you guys for having me on. This has been fantastic, and
we good appreciate stuff. It.
Yeah. We appreciate
I'm glad
it.
You took the time to do this. I think it added a ton of value. I think
people a lot of questions we get so.
Yeah.
Hearing it from you, that is amazing. So
perfect.
Thank you again. So anyway, stay tuned. This will be come out in a couple of weeks, and we're excited for 2022. So thank you all, and we'll see you all next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.